Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, this summer we've been looking at the promises of God, and today we turn our attention to another promise. We could spend a lot of time, as you know, looking at these promises of God, since there are well over 7,000 of them in the Scriptures, but we're just going to be touching on a few of them. Today our attention turns to the book of Hebrews, actually, and we'll get to that promise in just a moment. But it's this idea that we have someone we can turn to in our time of need, in our time of weakness. And Paul really catches that promise in the words of Colossians that we heard for today in our epistle lesson. He says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated, the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Well, it was one of those games for the record books. And it wasn't a Super Bowl or an NBA final or even the Cubs World Series victory. It was a college softball game between two schools, one from Oregon and one from Washington State. And it was an important game for these two teams. You see, it was a division playoff game. The winner would go on, and the loser would go home. Now, the Western Oregon Wolves were a good team with many strong hitters, but Sarah Tucholsky was not one of those strong hitters. She hadn't played much for the team. I guess you could say she was one of the bench warmers. But not that day, you see. Sarah's teammate was sick, and so Sarah, she got to play. And play she did, hitting her first home run with two runners on base. But you see, in her excitement, as she was rounding the bases, she missed first base, and her coach yelled out to her, "Hey, Sarah, you gotta touch first base." And so when she heard his voice, she stopped, and she turned to go back, and when she turned, she heard pop. Her knee tore right out of joint. And she went down on the ground, and she was able to crawl back to get back on the bag. But she didn't know what to do now. She couldn't move, and she knew that her teammates couldn't help her around the bases. Well, she didn't know, and neither did the umpires, so they huddled up. Now, I don't know if you know it, but you and I have a lot in common with Sarah Tucholsky. We too have stumbled, not in a game, but in life. When it comes to areas of morality, when it comes to honesty, when it comes to integrity, we have not always sought those things from above. Sure, we've tried our best, but let's face it, our best efforts have left us flat on our backs. We are weakened with broken hearts and weary spirits and a fading vision. And as a result of that, oftentimes our focus shifts from the things above to the things of this world. As we feel like just giving up. Isn't that what Solomon was saying? Oh, vanity, vanity, what's the use of it all? What's the point of it all? What's the purpose of it all? When I'm worn out, when I'm broken, when I'm weakened, what's the meaning of it all? Or maybe we feel like giving in. Wouldn't it be simpler to just live in the ways of this world, to live for myself, to take what belongs to me, to act like I'm better than everybody else? And when we find ourselves looking at the things of this world, we often forget to look to the one who can really and truly help. To the one who raises us up and carries us home. For you see, in Jesus, we have the very promises of God. And as we've come to discover, our God, this God of ours, is a promise maker. And I mean, he offers us promise after promise after promise. Promise of blessing and protection and providence. Promises that give us a hope and a future. Promises that can actually change who we are. But we've also come to discover that this God of ours is more than just a promise maker. He's a promise keeper as he does what he says he's going to do. And you see, God is up to something. He's doing a new thing. In the midst of these promises, you see, he is molding and shaping us, changing us, so that we can be people after his heart. So that we can be those people that he made us to be, sons and daughters, the very children of God, who have our minds set on the things above as we learn to live with unshakable hope. And you see, that's why over these past number of months, we have been focusing on the promises of God. And today, we turn our attention to God's promise that he understands our struggles and can enable us to walk in a whole new way as we learn to walk in the way of Jesus. I mean, just listen to this promise. God's promise to you from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Listen to what we hear in this promise. The author writes, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need." You see, God brings to us an invitation to come to him, to listen to him, to trust in him, as we know that he raises us up when we look to him, as we follow in the way of Jesus. For it was God's Son and our Savior who stood in our place and did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. For in his death and resurrection, Jesus kept the promise of his Father, giving us what we so desperately need so that we can stand secure on the promises of our God even as we live them out. And we have the opportunity to do that. To live out these promises in our day-to-day life, because we know how powerful these promises of God are. They've changed us, and they can change the people around us. As we are people who are living with unshakable hope, trusting that there is real life, abundant life for all people, when we learn to trust in the one who brings real satisfaction. Well, I didn't know my ear could hurt this bad. I couldn't touch it. I couldn't chew any food without pain, and I couldn't hear all that well. You see, after spending some time in the water last week, both Rachel and I came down with an outer ear infection. They call it swimmer's ear. Now, what was so strange is both of us got this infection in our left ear. Now, don't ask me why, and don't ask me how that can happen, but that's what happened. So after a visit to urgent care and some drops, I would have to say things are starting to get a little bit better. But what I find so amazing as I think about that is the damage that a little bacteria can have on our bodies. It doesn't take much, does it? It doesn't take much to knock us down. But here's the thing. You and I have a God who understands our frail state. And since he understands, we can find grace and mercy in him when we need it. And we need it. You and I, we need that mercy. And the good news is we have a God who doesn't let us languish in our brokenness and our weakness. You see, when we fall, we are not forgotten. When we stumble, we are not abandoned. Our God gets us, you and me, because he's one of us. Well, how about a little quiz here this morning? I'm going to give you a few characteristics, and I want you to tell me if these characteristics describe Jesus, or you, or both. All right, you got it? Do they describe Jesus, you, or both? Okay, born of a mother. Oh, both. Acquainted with physical pain. Both. Enjoys a good party. Both. Rejected by friends. Both. Loves a good story. Both. Reluctant to pay taxes. Both, right? Turned off by greedy religion. Both. Stands up for the underdog. Both. Kept awake at night by concerns. Both. Accused of being wild and crazy. Both. Afraid of death. Both. Jesus, you, or both. You see, Roman numeral one, Jesus understands. He gets you because he is like you. Jesus, the Bible tells us, became one of us. John, in his gospel, said it this way, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." God became flesh in the form of Jesus Christ. He was miraculously conceived, yet naturally delivered. He was born, yet born of a virgin. Had he come in the form of a mighty being, we would respect him, but never draw near to him. Had he come just as a man, we would draw near to him, but we wouldn't want to worship him. But Jesus is both God and man at the same time. He is fully human. He is fully divine. And because of the first, because he is human, we draw near. Because of the latter, because he's fully divine, we worship. And as a result, Jesus recognizes our needs as we point number one, as we struggle to seek things above. As we get caught up in the things of this world, in our selfishness, as we seek pleasure, as we cause pain, as we take pride in ourselves, We get caught up in the things of this world, in our greed, never satisfied, never content, always wanting more. Even though we know that these things of the world cannot give us what we really need. And yet God, this God of ours, comes to us in our struggles, in our fears, in our failures, and he picks us up, showing us a better way, even as we fail, point number two, to live as resurrected people. Living foolishly as we think we're in control, as we think we've got it all figured out, as we think we don't really even need a Savior. But we do. And in Jesus, we have our Savior. We have one who understands. We have one who overcomes. We have one who raises us up, as he has, point number three, experienced every temptation. Experienced every temptation we have, but without sin. You see, Jesus stood in our place, and he did for us what we can't do for ourselves. Jesus took it all, never surrendering, never giving in, never wavering. And then in his grandest deed, he volunteered to take upon himself the consequences of our sin. Jesus didn't deserve to feel shame, but he felt it. Jesus didn't deserve that humiliation, but he experienced it. Jesus didn't deserve the punishment, but he took it. Jesus became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. So does this promise from Hebrews chapter 4 matter? That we have a great high priest who understands our weaknesses. You bet it matters. It matters for people who live in a world that leaves us feeling broken and abandoned. Now, I don't know if you heard about the new college admissions scam that's taking place now. Get this. Rich parents are giving up custody of their children so that they will get more financial aid for them. Giving up custody of your kids so that you can get more financial aid. See, Jesus, he won't abandon you. No matter your sin, no matter your struggles. Rather, Roman numeral 2, Jesus can help. He is able to understand our weakness so that we can come to his throne of grace and find mercy in our time of need. And he has the grace to give, and he has the mercy to help. As he reveals, point number one, his divinity. You see, Jesus took our sins to the cross, but he also rose victorious over death and the grave, doing what only God could do. And you see, because Jesus lives, we live. We have been raised up with him so that we can now seek those things that are from above. As Jesus, point number two, gives us a new identity. We heard about it, that new identity in that song that Aaron sang for us this morning, didn't we? Yeah, we are the very children of God. A new identity that nothing or no one can take away from us. We've been given a new focus. As we focus not on the things of this world which are here today and gone tomorrow, but as our focus turns to those things that are from above, as we live with a new attitude, an attitude of gratitude for all that we have been given, as we live with faith and trust that God is faithful to his promises, as Jesus, point number three, carries us home to new life now and to new life for all of eternity. A life that actually has meaning and has purpose. A life that can really and truly make a difference. Now don't worry, I didn't forget about Sarah. Neither did Mallory Holtman. You see, as Mallory saw her opponent lying there on the ground, unable to move, Mallory knew that something needed to be done. I mean, Sarah couldn't move, her teammates couldn't help. So Mallory, with the help of a teammate, carried Sarah around the bases for a 3-run home run. It was a stunning scene that day. Jesus has come to carry us home, to raise us up to things above. We can't do it on our own. But you see, we have a high priest who is willing and able to help us in our time of need. Let him do what he came to do. Let him lift you up and carry you home. Amen. Now may God's peace, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.